Hello and welcome to the Authority of Love. I'm here again as your host, Greg Williams, and joined by our co-host, Adia Wushner, on this another wonderful Wednesdays for Women. Adia, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Greg, as always, and thank you to our listeners for listening in today.
Yes, so appreciate that, and thanks for your comments and feedback. You can do that. By the way, we don't say this very often, but if you have anything for me, send it to loveandlordship@gmail.com, loveandlordship@gmail.com. And Adia, how can they contact you?
They can always contact us at the office at Kentucky Right to Life office at 502-895-5959 if they want to talk to me directly, or at kyrighttolife.org.
Okay, so there you go. You could get information there, comments. Even if you disagree, we don't mind hearing that. I have alligator skin. I think Adia has had to have it over years as a legislator,
yes,
and everything else,
yes.
Right?
And sometimes so women have some personal things. They've called me. They wanted to share. They'd like to be issues that we talk about, but they don't want to call in or talk about on the air. I'm always open to that.
Exactly right. And we are open to that. So again, I've always updated you on this show. And so we're going to do it again. 684 days since Roe was overturned.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And 631 days because there were some challenges and things like that. But since the last legal abortion in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. So we praise and thank the Lord for that. And with that said, amen. Adia, you have a prayer specifically for women who've had abortions, right?
We know that the numbers since Roe have been, you know, almost one in every four women have experienced an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And we know all of our families and our culture and those around us, those in the very pews that we sit in at church,
yes,
have been touched. So
yes,
today's prayer that we're going to lead with is a prayer for women who have had an abortion. And we just go to the Father. Lord, forgive and heal the deep emotional and physical and spiritual wounds of women who have had abortions. Pour your healing power of your love into their hearts so that they may seek and accept your forgiveness. God of mercy, be especially merciful to them, for so often they didn't know the wrong that they were doing. Lead them to those who will help them. Help all of us who have had the grace to recognize the evil of abortion, to never turn away from these women, to never turn our backs, but to embrace them and understand their hurt and their pain. Let us always reach out to them with love. We ask all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Adia, thank you for that, because that's, we need to remember that all the time when we're dealing. I know you've dealt with many.
And sometimes
I have
our
several
words matter, you know. Yeah. Someone will say, well, they've killed their babies. And I said, sometimes if you want to bring about healing, it's just mm-hmm. the harshness of our words,
mm-hmm.
you know, being able to meet them with compassion and to bring them along the way to,
yeah,
recognize this life. A lot of the healing ministry and post-abortion is bringing someone to where they recognize the child. A lot of times we'll have them, let's name your infant,
mm-hmm.
let's name that baby and bring that baby, and that, you know, they can,
yes,
recognize that love and,
yeah,
heal.
Yeah, there's
and
a connection.
Yes.
There's a connection. And I've seen several,
Project Rachel,
yes,
Vineyard, all of those,
right,
problems.
Several
we,
of those.
We usually use, yeah, that. It's not a process, but it's just really a process of healing. You know, you can't let go of something until you've,
right,
held it.
Right. Yeah, and that's really good. And that leads me into what I ask you to share a little bit about today, because I know, for those of you who don't know, Adia is very humble in this, but she has spoken as an expert before the United Nations, before the U.S. Congress, and obviously was a legislator here in Kentucky as well. But her heart is on women and the impact that these issues, and in particular today, why is it we hear that it frees women, it sets them free, and it's good for them. If they need to get an abortion, they ought to be able to get one. Why is that a deception?
Well, we are not freer or happier as women in our culture today. If you, and all of us, if we look at our friends, family, people that we know,
mm-hmm.
if we just look at the numbers of even mental health issues, the amount of,
yes,
women, I'm not saying that it's all because of abortion, but there's something going on in our culture with the amount of women who need to be on, you know, antidepressants and the struggles that we're going through. So we know it's had an impact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women who would come to my office in Frankfurt when I would work on legislative measures, pro-life measures, they'd close the door and sometimes they'd say, these are women that were in the halls of Frankfurt. They might be lobbyists. They may be work there on staff. And they'd be like, could I talk to you for a moment? And they would share their stories.
Mm.
And
I'm sure there were a lot of tears.
There were, and like one,
yeah,
woman said to me, and it always stayed with me, she says, I looked down the hall at the young interns that would come to Frankfurt, and she says, I wonder if that could have been my son and daughter. Mm. So every day when she sees a life,
yeah,
that may have been her child's age, she thinks of that. Yeah. You know, we were on KET not too long ago and in a debate with Planned Parenthood, and one woman who said, you know, my abortion was the best thing I ever had, that I ever did. And I thought later that how it impacted our lives. And I thought, I'd love just to get a chance and sit down and say, how could it be the best thing? Yeah. Because somewhere, you know, we all hide our wounds and our brokenness and our fears. And, you know, women, we're the best at masking things and marching on, right? Because we have to. We got to take care of our families. You know, we got to keep it all together. But deep down inside, those wounds are there. And they're there because of our very nature. We cannot change who we are, Greg. Right. The way that we're created, the way our bodies are created, the way our psyche is created, the essence of who we are in women is to bear life. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't mean that every woman has to go out and have one child, 10 children. Some women can have children.
Right.
But what it does is...
And that's a whole other issue
that
right
is, and
there.
We'll talk about that sometime.
Yep. Yes.
But what I'm saying is the very nature from the construction of our bodies, the way we're created, you know, yes, we have a uterus, we have, you know, our breast buds, we have all those, I guess we can say that on the radio, but the way that our bodies were made to nurture.
Yes.
And when we go against our very nature, a wound. It inflicts a wound in who we are.
Well, and Adia, as you're talking about that, I'm sitting here thinking about Romans 1. Because in Romans 1, we're told that when we choose to move from even natural sexual immorality, which is the root of all of this, the reason, once you have broken that down and there's no more, nothing there at all to hang on to, then it's very easy to go, I didn't have sex to have a baby. I had sex because I wanted to. But I ended up with a baby, as Ann Badgley from Heritage Keepers used to say all the time. You went out, you wanted to have some fun, you ended up with a family.
Right. You ended up with a family.
But you have to harden your heart.
Or you could also end up with a sexual transmitted disease that's going to impact you going forward. Right. And so then we see people, women who are wounded, they're now trying to get pregnant, and the scarring on their fallopian tubes for repeated chlamydia infections, no one says what started it. It's kind of painful to go back, but we know medically that's contributes to it.
Yeah.
And so we see those wounds, whether it's physical, emotional, but again, as we move against God's word.
Yes, that's exactly, and his design, his covenant design and order, the way,
and sometimes
the order,
I think women, we carry more of that than anything. It kind of maybe goes back to the garden, you know, but we carry the weight of that more than anything in our culture. Yeah.
Well, we're really good at, and this is us as human beings. I'm lumping myself and all of us in this because we are. The Bible says we are. We're really good at taking the things that might be a little difficult or not exactly what we wanted and finding a way to justify getting rid of them. And ultimately, that's what we've done with that. And God says, as you move down that path more and more, your heart's going to be hardened and your mind's going to be depraved. You've got to get there. That's why so many of these can say abortion is the greatest thing that happened to me. They don't realize what they've done to their hearts and
because
minds.
Because they're thinking it made them free. At that moment, they wanted to be free, not to have a child. Maybe they were in college, they were in university. Maybe they already had two children.
Another one wouldn't
fit in. But what about that other child that sometimes, I often thought, what if they see this television show and then you see your mother going, my abortion was the best thing that ever happened to me. And you're thinking, my mother, that was my brother or sister. You know,
there's a whole lot of questions left unanswered when you make that kind of statement. Exactly right. So thank you. I know there's going to be more on this, but we've got several things that we want to cover.
We're not condemning women that have had an abortion. We want to come alongside them as we pray today in that compassion. But I think if we're really going to change our culture, we have to understand ourselves. And in the weeks ahead, that's what we want to do here, is to help to understand who we are as women.
And you mentioned something there, and I have to say this, not about that alone, but about anything. God's word says that when we're in our sin, I'm not condemning anyone. I'm already living in it. When we do that, we're already living. We're condemning ourselves when we choose to do those kind of things. What we want to do is help them see that, and then coming to the Lord, learning that truth, then they can be set free.
Because I think that's like when we talk about the depression and things, it just starts to pile up
layers the symptoms,
of layers of layers.
Right.
And so sometimes
that's where the enemy wants us.
Yes.
You can even peel them all away. As long as you leave one layer over top, you never get to the real issue.
Because he's always trying to deceive us.
Exactly.
He uses deceive us so that we don't know that we are so loved by the Father. I have a little image on my phone, and it's, you know, I'm a daughter of the Father, but my crown gets crooked. I'm always straightening my crown.
Yeah.
But that's where we all are,
and
right?
Jesus straightens it all the time. And
it's exactly.
So we're going to continue, as we promised, more of these kind of things not just life and abortion, but a variety of issues and how they impact girls and women.
Challenge, faith, just the challenges we're facing in the world today. Mm-hmm. I hear from parents all the time, trying to educate their children. Just there's so much impacting women and families today.
Now, with that, we're going to close that out and then get to there's several things going on. One of them is the primaries coming up in 4 weeks from yesterday, actually. So you've got some information. Tell us where they can go to get that.
Many of the pro-family organizations like Kentucky Right to Life, we have a Kentucky Right to Life Victory Pack, which has, for almost 50 years, they evaluate all the candidates. There's a questionnaire. They look at their voting records. They look at their community involvement. So for those of you, I'm holding this up right now because we do a...
Yes, on the video, if you're watching that.
So the Victory Pack voter guide, everyone always asks for that. It is out and ready to go. It's been blasted out through Constant Contact. You can call our office to get a copy. We'll be happy to
mail
you one.
Quickly, not everybody's happy with these, but tell them how you did it very quickly.
Well, of course, there's five different, the candidate questionnaire. A lot of people didn't want to fill out the questionnaire, but they've always had a questionnaire, and it's tough. And somebody said, well, why do we have to keep the candidates filling them out? The issues change, they morph, they modify, they come back. Yeah. End of life is coming on strong. We look at other states in Canada that want assisted suicide and euthanasia for children. So we have to talk about these timely issues. Then they look at the vote. If you're an incumbent, there's always a preference to the incumbent, but they look at their voting record very carefully.
Right.
They look at their involvement in the pro-life community or the pregnancy care centers in the community. It's one thing to say, sign a paper and say, well, I'm pro-life, but have you walked that walk?
Actions speak louder than words.
The candidate background, the electability, so a lot of factors taken in. There is a team that evaluates it. There's spreadsheets and they do it's an omens, the amount of work that they do. I contribute from, what goes on in Frankfurt. And then they begin to do comparison data. And and not everybody's happy because...
No.
But
that's my point. But it's good. I know our good friend David Walsh does a thing with the Family Foundation on their issues. And so not everybody's going to be happy, but I can tell you, I love what they stand for and they stand true to that. And that's what I'm looking for in the candidates. So thank you for that. Coming up, Central Kentucky, right?
Yes,
Life Bank,
Thursday night is the
tomorrow
Central,
night.
Yes, is the Central Kentucky Right to Life Banquet. And the special guest, which is kind of exciting because we're going to talk about Baby Box. And of course, is the founder, Monica Kelsey, from Safe Haven Baby Box.
Yes.
So she'll be there as the special guest and speaker that night.
Right.
But they're also that
leads
afternoon. And you're going to be there. I think we're both going
to be there. Come out and join us.
Yes, there's going to be a Baby Box installation, number 34 in Kentucky.
Yes, and it's at the number 4 fire station in Nicholasville, if you're looking for that. So if you need any more, at 1 o'clock, 1 p.m. So if you need any more information, contact either one of us and we'll get that to you. And then finally, the deadline is coming up for Kentucky Right to Life Scholarship.
Yes, our Next Generation Pro-Life Scholarship. So please call the office. If you need more information, go to our website. But it's a great scholarship, $1,000. So we want those seniors to get that.
That number is 502-895-5959. We'll leave you with that. Again, loveandlordship@gmail.com. You can contact me. Thank you so much for joining us today. Adia, thanks you again for that wonderful insight, as you always do, for life and the impact on women. We appreciate that. Thanks for your prayers and your support. We certainly appreciate that. And if you want any more information on that, please let us know. Thanks to the Lord. Have a great day and God bless in Christ. Now stay tuned at 12:45 for my good friend Greg Horn and Hope is Here. I'm Greg Williams along with co-host Adia Wushner and you're listening to The Authority of Love.